if you please take your Bible and turn with me at this time to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. We'll be looking at those verses in just a moment. We're starting a new message series for Advent this year, and it is called The People of Christmas. And so over the next number of weeks in preparation for Christmas, we're going to be looking at the key people who figure in the Christmas story. So today we're going to be looking at Mary, and then next week we'll look at Joseph, and then the following weeks the shepherds, and then the wise men. And of course, throughout all of this, we're going to be looking at the main person, the key person in the Christmas story, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, born to be our Savior. Jesus is the reason for the season. He is also the only reason these other people we're going to be looking at in our series, that they figure so prominently in history as well. And so today we're going to be looking at Mary, the mother of Jesus, a young woman, probably just age 12 to 15, a beautiful example to us of one who loved God and submitted herself to him and his service. We're going to be looking at a number of scriptures in the course of the message, but we'll begin here in the Gospel of Luke, first chapter, verses 26 through 31. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, as we enter into this Advent season together now, as we look at this first person of Christmas, Mary, Lord, I pray that you would indeed touch our hearts with this beautiful, obedient, humble, submissive woman. And Lord, teach us how we may celebrate Christmas and your Son more completely in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So we're looking at the people of Christmas, and today we are specifically going to be talking about Mary. Who was Mary? Why is she so important to the Christmas story? What do we know about her? And how does that impact the way that we view the birth of Jesus at Christmas? This morning, we're going to look at six things that the Bible tells us about Mary that reveal her important role in Christmas and in the birth of Jesus. There's an outline in your worship guide, if you'd like to take that out and follow along at this time, the six things that we'll be looking at. What do we know about Mary? We know that she was descended from David. We know that she came from the town of Nazareth, that she was related to Elizabeth, that she was a virgin, that she was a godly woman, and that she raised a family. And as we look at all six of these characteristics of Mary, we're going to grow this morning, we're going to grow in our own understanding of Christmas and how God so graciously prepared for the birth of his Son on that first Christmas day. So let's get started. First of all, Mary was descended from David. Mary was descended from David. Now, there are two genealogies for Jesus that we find in the New Testament. One is in the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter. The other is in the Gospel of Luke, the third chapter. The genealogy in the Gospel of Matthew, that one traces Jesus' ancestry through Joseph, through his adopted father, Joseph. The genealogy in Luke, that traces Jesus' ancestry through Mary, through his birth mother, through Mary. And the genealogy for Jesus, we're talking about Mary this morning, in Luke, it begins in Luke chapter 3, verse 23. And I want you to notice carefully the wording of the very first verse of the genealogy here. It says, Luke 3, 23 says this, Jesus was the son, notice it doesn't say the son of Joseph. No, it says Jesus was the son, so it was thought of Joseph. In other words, Jesus was not the physical son of Joseph, although he was the physical son of Mary. And so then the genealogy continues with the actual ancestry of Jesus through Mary's side. And it goes on, the son of Heli, the son of Matthah, and so on. And then you get to verse 31, and we come to the following names in the genealogy, the son of David, the son of Jesse. Well, who's David, the son of Jesse? That's King David in the Old Testament, right? And so Luke's genealogy is telling us something very important here, that Mary, as the mother of Jesus, Mary was a direct descendant of David. And you might wonder, why is that so important that Mary's descended from David? Well, it's vitally important because the Bible tells us the Messiah had to come through the physical line of David. Now, Joseph, he's also descended from David, but Joseph was not Jesus' physical father. And so it is essential that Mary was descended from David as well. And this way, Jesus was an actual physical descendant of David through Mary, as well as receiving the legal right to rule through his adoptive father, Joseph. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later in the message. The Apostle Paul emphasizes this physical relationship with David, the ancestry, in Romans chapter 1, verse 3, when he says this about Jesus, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David. And so that's the first thing the Bible tells us about Mary. She was physically descended from David, which means that Jesus was also physically descended from David, which was essential for Jesus to fulfill the role of the Messiah. Second thing we learn about Mary is that she came from Nazareth. You might be wondering, well, why is that important? Well, let's look at that. Nazareth was a very small village in Galilee. Today it has a population of about 80,000 people, but back then it was very small, just a small town, insignificant, completely forgettable, right? Blink and you miss it, even if you're riding a donkey, okay? Blink and you miss it. You know, it's not even mentioned in the Old Testament. If you needed any supplies in Nazareth, you actually had to walk 4 miles north over the back roads to get your supplies from the neighboring city of Sepphoris. Nazareth was not a wealthy town, and we know that Joseph and Mary also, they were probably very poor, as signified by their offering of just a pair of doves at Jesus' presentation in the temple. That was the offering that a poor person made in the temple. So why is it so important that we know that Mary came from Nazareth? Well, for a number of reasons. First of all, Mary and Joseph would return there after Jesus was born, and this was in fulfillment of prophecy. But it also means that Jesus was raised in humble surroundings in virtual obscurity. Jesus left the riches of heaven. He was born in a humble manger in Bethlehem, and he was raised in the tiny town of Nazareth. Now, even if Jesus had been born and raised in the royal palace, okay, that still would have been a very humble place compared to heaven, the place that he left to come here, right? But God made sure that we would know he was born in a humble place. And Jesus was raised in the humble town of Nazareth. So that's the second thing the Bible tells us about Mary. She came from the town of Nazareth, which tells us that Jesus was raised in humble surroundings. Then the third thing we learn about Mary is that she was related to Elizabeth. Now, you might wonder, well, who's Elizabeth? Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. Mary's related to Elizabeth. That means Jesus is related to John the Baptist. They were cousins. A lot of people don't know that. You go, are you kidding me? They're cousins? Yeah, they probably knew each other growing up. And so what a special thing later on when John recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah. Just like Jesus, John the Baptist also had a miraculous birth. Not a virgin birth, but a miraculous birth. John's mother, Elizabeth, she was barren. She was unable to conceive. God sent the angel Gabriel, the same angel that he sent to Mary later. God sent the angel Gabriel to John's parents, told them that they would have a son. And just like God told Joseph and Mary, here, name your son Jesus. They gave him the name, right? He gave him the name. God also told John's parents what they were to name John. They said, you're to name him John. lot of similarities, right? One big difference, though, between the two stories, other than the virgin birth. When the angel Gabriel told John's father, Zechariah, that they were going to have a son, Zechariah did not receive this word in faith as Joseph and Mary did with Jesus. You know what? God still fulfilled his word to Zechariah and Elizabeth, and Mary went to visit Elizabeth in Judea soon after she became pregnant with Jesus. So this is the third thing we learn about Mary. She was related to Mary, who miraculously gave birth to John the Baptist. And God used this connection between Mary and Elizabeth as an additional sign to Mary. Mary didn't ask for the sign, but God gave her one as an additional sign to Mary that everything he told her about her own child, Jesus, that she was going to bear, that everything he told her was true. And so God used this to assist Mary in her faith. And then the fourth thing that is important for us to know about Mary is that she was a virgin. And this is one of the big ones. This is one of the ones we talk about a lot at Christmas, right? We first see this in the Gospel of Matthew, where Matthew tells us this. He says, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:18. Matthew specifically tells us that Mary became pregnant when? Before she and Joseph came together. It's just his way of saying she was still a virgin when Jesus was conceived in her womb. And then a few verses later, Matthew emphasizes that this was in fulfillment of prophecy. In quoting Isaiah 7:14, the passage that we read earlier in the service today, Matthew writes this. He says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then we get even more details about this in the Gospel of Luke, in the first chapter of Luke. In fact, Mary being a virgin is mentioned three times here, okay, in verses 26 through 34. First of all, in verses 26 and 27, we read this. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the town in Galilee. And now we get to verse 27. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, the virgin's name was Mary. So that's twice in one verse, Mary being a virgin. Then a third time, verse 34, when Mary asked the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? Now, of course, this is an amazing miracle of God. This is one of the big miracles along with the resurrection of Christ, right? That a virgin would conceive and give birth to a child. It's part of the beauty and wonder of Christmas. But you might also wonder, why is it so important? Why was it so important that Jesus was born of a virgin? I can think of at least four reasons. Let me share with you four reasons this morning why it's so important that Jesus was born of a virgin. First of all, to fulfill prophecy. To fulfill prophecy. We've already seen that Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. And so Jesus being born of a virgin, he not only fulfilled prophecy, but this also designated Jesus as the Messiah sent from God. That's the first reason, to fulfill prophecy. Reason number two was this, so that Christ would have both a human and a divine nature. Now, as the eternal Son of God, Jesus was and is, and always will be, divine, okay? He is of the same essence as God the Father, co-equal, co-eternal with him. But something very special happened in the virgin birth here. In the incarnation, Jesus assumed also now a human nature, which he received from his mother, Mary. And so with God as his father and Mary as his mother, Jesus is both fully human and fully divine. He is the God-man who came to save us from our sins. Which brings us to the third reason why Jesus was born of a virgin, which was to solve the sin problem. to solve the sin problem. What's the sin problem? Here's the sin problem. Real basic, okay? All of us born into this world, okay, by a human mother and father, we all inherit a sin nature. We're all born with a sinful nature. But Jesus was not born of a human father. It's a mystery how all of this works, but the scriptures tell us that the virgin birth is part of the reason why Jesus was born without a sin nature. When Mary asked the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered her this. The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so, or in this way, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Mary conceived Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke tells us as a result, he was born as who? The Holy One. He was born as one without sin. And so that's the third reason Jesus was born of a virgin, to solve the sin problem. And then the fourth reason Jesus was born of a virgin was to solve the genealogical problem. You say, well, I didn't even know there was a genealogical problem, right? But to solve the genealogical problem. So what's this genealogical problem? Well, it goes back to the days of a bad king, okay? One of the bad kings in the Old Testament, one of the kings of Israel, King Jehoiakim in the Old Testament. Jehoiakim was one of the kings in the line of David leading up to the Messiah. But Jehoiakim sinned against the Lord so badly, God sent the prophet Jeremiah to him with the following message, the following prophecy against him. Jeremiah 22:30. This is what the Lord says, speaking of King Jehoiakim, "Record this man as if childless." Now, he had children, okay? But "record this man as if childless, a man who will not prosper in his lifetime, for none of his offspring will prosper." And here's the big one now. Here's where the genealogical problem comes in. "None will sit on the throne of David or rule anymore in Judah." And you know what? None of his sons did rule on the throne. The line of kings shifted over to brothers and uncles at that time. Jehoiakim sinned against the Lord so badly that God broke the birth line from David through Jehoiakim to the Messiah. No child, no descendant of Jehoiakim would ever sit on the throne of David. Now, remember we said Joseph's genealogy is in the Gospel of Matthew? You know who shows up there? Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim's in that genealogy. He goes by his alternate name. He had another name. He was known as Jeconiah, but you'll see in Matthew 1:11, Jehoiakim, Jeconiah. Joseph, therefore, was a direct physical descendant of Jehoiakim, which means that none of Joseph's physical sons could ever be the Messiah. So here's the genealogical problem. Now, we've given you the background. Here's the problem. God promised David, "David, the Messiah is going to come through your birth line." The royal right to rule was passed from father to son, but the royal birth line from David was broken with King Jehoiakim. How then can the Messiah be born in the line of David and still receive the right to rule? You know, I sometimes wonder whether people studied this problem before Jesus was born and wondered how was God ever going to solve this conundrum. But you know what? The virgin birth solves this problem in an amazing way. Because Joseph and Mary were both physical descendants of David, but through different sons, through different lines. Joseph was in the royal line of David. Mary was in a non-royal line. And so Jesus was a physical descendant of David through his mother, Mary. He needed to have that to be the Messiah. And he also received the royal right to rule through his adoptive father, Joseph. Jesus fulfilled God's promise to David that the Messiah would come through David's physical line, and he kept his promise that none of Jehoiakim's physical descendants would ever sit on the throne of David. And so the virgin birth not only solves the sin problem, it also solves the genealogical problem. So that's the fourth thing you need to know about Mary in the Christmas story. Mary was a virgin when she conceived and gave birth to Christ. Two more now. The fifth thing that's important to know about Mary is that she was a godly woman. She was a godly woman. Now, we need to be careful here, okay? Because there are some who teach that Mary was sinless. They teach that we should even pray to her. And although we should certainly respect Mary as the mother of Jesus, that goes too far, doesn't it? That goes beyond what Scripture teaches us in reverencing her. You know, here in the Protestant tradition, we perhaps make the opposite mistake, and maybe we don't reverence her enough. You know, so we want to be careful here. We don't want to go too far and call Mary sinless or pray to her, but at the same time, we should recognize that she was a godly woman. And how do we know this? Well, the Scripture tells us in many ways. First of all, the Bible tells us that she found favor with God. That's the first thing the angel tells her. Mary, you have found favor with God. Secondly, Mary's response to the angel was one of humility. That's a godly characteristic. Next, Mary also responded in faith to the angel. She believed the angel right away. She was just curious. She said, well, how's this going to happen? She didn't say, give me a sign so I know it's going to happen. She goes, how's this going to happen? She believed him right away. Contrast that with Sarah in the Old Testament. Sarah, who laughed when God said she would have a child, or with Zechariah in the New Testament, who asked God for a sign. Mary just said, how will this be? I want to understand more. Fourthly, we see Mary's submissive obedience to God. Luke chapter 1, verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then we see additional faith in Mary's part when she goes to visit her relative Elizabeth. We see her joyful praise to God and the words of the Magnificat. That's Mary's beautiful song of response when Elizabeth prophesies over her. We see her prayerful meditation on God's work in her life when Luke tells us how Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then we also read of the suffering that Mary would experience as the mother of Jesus. When Simeon told her in the temple, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul too. And so in many ways and throughout the entire Christmas story, the Scriptures tell us that Mary was a godly woman. And you know what? We can recognize that. And we can honor that. And we can celebrate that without going overboard by worshiping her or praying to her or calling her sinless. So that's the fifth thing we learn about Mary from Scripture. She was a godly woman. And then finally, the sixth thing we learn about Mary is that she raised a family. Isn't that neat? She raised a family. After Jesus was born, the Bible tells us she raised other children. We know that Mary had at least seven children, including Jesus, because the Bible tells us Jesus had siblings, that he had four brothers, at least two sisters. We even know the names of his brothers, James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon. The Bible doesn't tell us his sisters' names, although according to tradition, we don't know if it's true or not, but we've got a couple names floating out there, Anna and Lydia. But he had brothers and sisters. He had siblings. And so Mary raised a family. What do we learn from Mary as the first person of Christmas? In closing, let me try to distill everything we've just learned about Mary into one sentence for you this morning. It's at the bottom of the outline in your bulletin as well. God chose a humble, prayerful, submissive, believing woman in the birth line of David to be the virgin mother of Jesus and give him his human nature as the Son of God become man. Let me say that again. God chose a humble, prayerful, submissive, believing woman in the line of David to be the virgin mother of Jesus and to give him his human nature as the Son of God become man. What should our response be to all of this? We should marvel at the miracle of the incarnation, that Jesus was born of a virgin. We should worship Jesus as the eternal Son of God, who was born as a man so he could live a perfect life and die on the cross for our sins. And we should follow Mary's godly example as we seek to be humble and submissive to God in our own lives. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Well, dear Lord, as we begin this series looking at the different people of Christmas, this morning we thank you for Mary. We thank you for her testimony. We thank you for her humility. We thank you for her faith. Lord, thank you for recording these things about her for our benefit. Most of all, this morning, we thank you, Lord, for the amazing miracle of the virgin birth. That you would take a young teenage girl and her faith in you, in Lord Jesus, you, the eternal Son of God, would come to earth to take on human flesh and to be our Savior. Lord Jesus, you are the reason for the season. We worship you this morning. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.